Hallelujah. 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 Come on, all over this building, let everybody praise Him. Everybody close your eyes and lift your hands and praise Him. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus today. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus today. Hallelujah. If you have a Bible this morning, if you would turn with me to the book of 2 Samuel, the first chapter. 2 Samuel chapter number 1. I want to begin reading in verse number 1 today. I have several different readings of Scripture. I pray that you have patience with me as I read the Word of the Lord today. 2 Samuel chapter number 1, and we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Now it came to pass after the death of Saul, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Amalekites, and David had abode 2 days in Ziklag. It came even to pass on the third day that, behold, a man came out of the camp from Saul with his clothes rent, earth upon his head. So it was when he came to David that he fell to the earth and did obeisance. And David said unto him, From whence comest thou? And he said unto him, Out of the camp of Israel am I escaped. David said unto him, How went the matter? I pray thee, tell me. He answered that the people are fled from the battle, and many of the fallen also, for many of the people also are fallen and dead. Saul and Jonathan his son are dead also. And David said unto the young man that told him, How knowest thou that Saul and Jonathan his son be dead? And the young man told him, said, As I happened by chance upon Mount Gilboa, behold, Saul leaned upon his spear, and lo, the chariots, the horsemen, followed hard after him. And when he looked behind him, he saw me and called unto me, and I answered, Here am I. And he said unto me, Who art thou? And I answered him, I am an Amalekite. He said unto me again, Stand, I pray thee, upon me and slay me, for anguish has come upon me, because my life is yet whole in me. So I stood upon him and slew him, because I was sure that he could not live after that he was fallen. And I took the crown that was upon his head, and the bracelet that was on his arm, and have brought them hither unto my Lord. I want you to pay very careful attention to verse number 10. The Amalekite said, I stood upon him, I slew him, because I was sure that he could not live after that he was fallen. And I took the crown that was upon his head, and the bracelet that was on his arm. I'd also like for us to go to the book of 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse number 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one, everybody said one, receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain, and every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an uncorruptible. I therefore so run not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul said that we're running a race. He said they do it for a corruptible crown, but we do it for an incorruptible crown. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 6. And then we'll go quickly to the book of Revelation chapter 3. Book of 2 Timothy chapter number 4, verse number 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul said, My fight is over. My race is run. I've kept the faith. And he said, seeing that I have done my part, there's a crown that waits upon me. But he said, oh, but it's not just for me. But he said, everybody that's looking for the Lord to return, there's a crown that awaits you. Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 11 today. One last reading of Scripture. Thank you for your patience today. Revelation chapter number 3 and verse number 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. He said, behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. With the help of the Lord today, I want to preach from that reading of Scripture. And I want to preach this morning from this thought of competition for a crown. Whether you understand it or not today, and everything that's been done in this service today has been all for one goal, and that's for your eyes to be opened, for your heart to be touched. Because whether you understand it, whether you realize it or not, today you're running a race. You're in a competition. There is a crown that waits. But Paul said only one is going to receive that prize. Church, I feel the hand of the Lord so mighty, so strong. All day yesterday and then again this morning, I've carried the burden of this service with the word of the Lord for us in this place today. Oh, I pray that our hearts, I pray that our eyes could be opened. I pray that for a moment today you could see beyond just what you can see and feel with this carnal fleshly body. Oh, I pray that somehow we could look beyond this short time of space that we are here alive as we know it in this earth and realize that somewhere there is an eternity. Somewhere, I'm going to spend the rest of eternity with God or without Him. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost today. Would you lift your hands and your voice as Brother Clark comes to pray? Let's everybody pray that God would have His way here today.
Oh God, your Scripture has declared, be not weary in well-doing, for God in due season we will reap. Oh God, if those that are carnal of this world, my God, would prepare themselves for years for what they call the Olympics. For just a few seconds or moments of glory, and then theirs is over. Oh God, this life, God, is but a short time for something that we will win that will be forever and forever and forever. Oh God, if they can give themselves 4 years and more for just a few seconds, my God, how much more us a short lifetime for eternity. Let the Word of God move. Let it capture our minds and our spirits. Thank you, God, for our evangelists and for the Word of God and for this revival. Move, my God, move in our midst and fill men and women with the Holy Ghost. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And would you thank God, church? I feel the Holy Ghost here. Come on, let's thank God together. Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Church, I'm going to tell you, Brother Clark was 100% right a moment ago when he said he felt that devil rebuking spirit in this house. I'm telling you, the devil would love to cloud your mind and just let you take a mental trip for about the next 30 or 45 minutes and miss everything that God has for you in this place. But the presence of the Lord is too mighty to let you sit here and stand here and not know that God is talking to me. I want you to take your neighbor's hand right now. I want you to pray in the Holy Ghost one more time before you're seated. I want you to bind the spirit of hell in Jesus' name. I want you to loose the Holy Ghost in this house. Come on, church, in Jesus' name. Oh, in the name of Jesus today, I bind that spirit in Jesus' name. I plead the blood of the Lamb this day. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus today. Come on, let's everybody pray. Let's everybody pray. Let's everybody pray. Let's everybody pray. In the name of Jesus today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, Holy Ghost, have your way. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, in Jesus' name. Say it again. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated today. Praise God. I read an article in Time Magazine some months ago, and at the top of this, forgive me, not an article, it was an advertisement. At the top of this advertisement, it had these words, "In this theater, there are no rehearsals." And it showed the picture of an operating room. It showed the picture of the bed there and the lights, and just cut them off. Just cut the monitors all the way off if you have to. It showed this picture of the operating room there, and all of the tools and the utensils, and everything was in perfect condition. Everything was clean. Everything was just right. And this advertisement was an advertisement for the American College of Surgeons. And it said under the heading that for a surgeon, it is a virtuoso performance every time. It was an advertisement cautioning those that would read it to take the time to find a qualified surgeon. For you see, when it's time for you to be placed on an operating table, when it's time for you to be operated on, there is absolutely no margin for error. There is no place for a mistake. When an incision is made, when a stitch is pulled or an organ is removed or repaired, there is no place for a surgeon to not be at his best. There is no place for him to have an off day. There is no place for him to make a mistake. Friend, I promise you, if ever there comes the time that it comes my time to be operated on, I promise you, I'm going to do my very best to find the very best surgeon, the most qualified doctor, the best hospital in the land, because if they're going to put me under and put a knife to this body, I want to make sure it's the very best I can find. And this little advertisement was cautioning us to make sure that you find a qualified surgeon. Don't let just anybody operate on you. For you see, that surgeon, he must be ready physically, and he must be ready mentally. He's out of school. His time of training is over. And when it comes time for him to do surgery, he's got to be ready. For you see, once he gets into that operation, anything can happen. Anything's going to happen when he gets into that body and begins to perform the surgery. They tell me that no two surgeries are ever exactly the same. It may be the same type of an operation, but when it's a different body, when it's a different person, there's always something different about it. And every time that surgeon goes to that operating room, he's got to be ready. He's got to have a good night's sleep behind him. He's got to be ready mentally. He's got to have everything right, because it's a matter of life or death. And I want you to hear me closely today. This day, today, not tomorrow, but today, you're going to fight the battle for your very life. Your soul salvation is so important that you don't have a day to make a mistake. You don't have a moment to take a break. But every day that you live, you've got to give it everything. You've got to fight with all. You can't take a break. Hallelujah. Friend, I want you to hear me in the Holy Ghost today. Today, this morning, you've begun the battle of your life. And this day, you're going to fight with everything that's inside of you. Because there is a red hot hell,
And there is a devil that is a devourer that never sleeps and he never slumbers. And in case you're not serious, let me tell you today, he's very serious, because there is a crown that you're supposed to wear, that's supposed to be on your head. But if you don't get it, if you don't run, you'll lose it. I read to you about the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth. He said, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain." He said, every man that strives, he's got to be temperate. He said, they do it for a corruptible crown. But he said, we're running a race for a crown that's incorruptible, that's never going to fade away. He said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I not as one that beateth the air. But he said, I keep under my body, I bring it into subjection. He said, lest by any means, when I have preached to somebody else, that I myself should be a castaway. You see, Paul knew full well what he was saying. The church at Corinth had watched as the athletes that would come to the city of Corinth, and they were so famous for their games and for what we would call our modern day Olympics. They were famous for their stadiums and the games that took place there. And no doubt Paul, as he was starting the church there, he watched as the Corinthians jogged by training for their games. He watched them as they shadow boxed and as they prepared themselves for their games, not running at full speed, not boxing with everything, but training and getting ready. And Paul used that analogy to tell you and I that it's not that way with me. He said, I run not to be jogging. I am not in training, but he said, I'm running with everything that I've got. He said, so fight I not as uncertainly, not as shadow boxing, and not as getting ready. But he said, I'll fight every day that I live, because today is the only race I've got. Today is the only fight I've got. And so I'm going to run. I'm going to fight for a crown. He said, the race is on. The crown awaits. And he said, I cannot miss it. I did not understand this reading of Scripture. I asked God about it much in prayer. I don't understand God. He said, know ye not that all run in a race, but one receives the prize. I've got sense enough to know today that I'm not racing you. You're not racing me. We're all in this thing together. And I'm doing everything I know to do to be saved. I'm telling you, I understand I'm a preacher today. I can't be saved except I preach. But beyond all of that, friend, I want to be saved. We're doing all that we can to be saved. You're not racing me. I'm not racing you. But friend, Paul understood something. And he said, there is one crown for each individual. And they said, one is going to receive that prize. If you're not racing me, and I'm not racing you, if you're not fighting me, and I'm not fighting you, then would you please tell me, who in the world is it that's trying to take my crown? Who is it that would be the one to take my prize? I'll tell you who it is, friend. You and Satan are in competition today. You're not fighting me. You're not against me. But hell is after you, and they understand that God has made a crown to wear upon your head. But if you don't get it, if you don't reach it, if you don't get there before hell does, he's going to claim your crown. Friend, somebody better hear a preacher today. You're not just living life. You don't just get up and go to work, but you fight every day you live. Oh, preacher, it's not that way. Yes, sir, it's just that way. You may say, well, I don't even feel like I'm running a race. Then let me tell you, friend, you're losing. I said you're losing. Friend, if you're not doing everything you know to do to get a hold of that crown of life, then hell is one step ahead of you. And there's one crown, and there's one, just one.
I'll never read the scripture without it tearing me to pieces. I read it again this morning as God dealt with me so strongly. And somebody here today, you've been on my heart for the last 2 days. I'm telling you, God wants to deal with you this day. You've got to understand that you're running a race and you're fighting a battle. And if you can't be moved, then somewhere they're going to outrun you. They're going to outstrip you. You're going to lose your crown. I read into your hearing about Saul. He was anointed king, and I won't take time for the details today. A humble man. The Bible said he was so humble he hid himself among the stuff when they came to anoint him. The Bible said that God gave him a brand new heart. He prophesied with the prophets as they came off of the mountain. But something took place in his life. He was way much too casual. He didn't understand what was going on. And when the man of God was not where he thought he should be, and not doing what he thought he should have done, he said, I'll be my own priest. I'll be my own preacher. I'll do my own thing. And Saul became his own preacher. And he allowed sin to rule his life. Because he failed to understand there is a prize that is before me. I've come to bring a word of warning to somebody in this building today. You've got one hand on a crown, but you've got another hand reaching out the door. And God has sent me to tell you this day, you'll never take this man's place. You'll never be your own preacher. You can't decide what I'm going to choose and what I'm going to turn away from. You've got to have a preacher. I said, you've got to have a preacher to tell you how to live and what thus saith the Lord. Friend, you better hear the word of the Lord this day. You're putting it on yourself. I'll pick and choose what I will. But I'm telling you, you may be seated what you're going to do. You're going to let sin live and rule inside of you. And you're going to be just like Saul. Saul became his own preacher. For that reason, God rejected him and was giving his crown to another. Saul knew full well what had taken place. David was chosen, Saul rejected him. From that moment on, Saul sought to slay him. But you see, the real reason that Saul hated David was because of a crown. He desired to wear that crown so much. And he knew that David was destined to take the crown. He even tried to use his own son in a plot to kill and to slay David. The Israeli maidens would come out after the battle, and they would sing unto Saul, you've slain your thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. And there arose such a jealousy and such a fierce fervor in the heart of Saul that every day that he lived, he had one goal, and that was to slay the young boy David. Because as far as Saul was concerned, David was his competition for a crown. That's why he never gave up. That's why he was so relentless. That's why he could never stop. Because he was trying to hold on to a crown that he had already lost. And he viewed David as the one that took it. I want you to hear me very closely. When Ezekiel began to write about Satan, Isaiah wrote and said also that Satan said, I will be like the Most High. Ezekiel wrote about him and said, Satan, you were the anointed cherub. You had everything going for you. You were upon the holy mountain of God. You literally walked in the stones of fire. You were perfect in beauty. You were the sum of all wisdom. All the precious stones were a covering for you. You were closer to God than any other being has ever been. But you see, none of this was enough for Lucifer. He was not satisfied with being the crown prince of heaven. He had one desire, and that was the crown that sat upon the head of Almighty God. And it was that desire that so consumed him. And iniquity was found within him. I want you to know the only thing that Satan ever did was desire a crown to get thrown out of heaven. The only iniquity found within him was the desire so great for a crown that he tried to overthrow God. Friend, you better hear this preacher today. It was that desire that made him fall from glory. But the fall from glory did not quench the desire. There is still that desire that rages in the heart of hell itself. It's not for you and it's not for me, but it is for the crown that you're supposed to wear, that hell covets so much. And I'm telling you, hell understands. You hear me, please, today. Satan literally despises you. Oh, you may say, I don't have any problem with hell. Oh, yes, you do. Hell despises you. I've never done hell wrong. You didn't have to do anything. God's already done it all. Friend, that's the reason that hell hates you so much. Because the writer said, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And hell literally despises you. Because you've got an opportunity to go to the one place that hell cannot go. You've got a chance to wear the one thing. He had it all. He was adorned with stones. He walked in the fire. He was upon the holy mountain of God. But there was no crown upon his brow. But Jesus said, or Paul said for him, there is a crown that's waiting on me. I've done my best. I'm going home. I'm going to take my crown. But he said, not just me. It's waiting on you. And I'm telling you, hell, literally, can't get away from it. It won't leave me. Satan despises you because you've got an opportunity to go where he cannot go. You see, Satan was closer to God than anybody. Nobody was as close to God as Satan. He was literally side by side with God. But when he fell from heaven, God said, I'm going to make myself a bride. And someday I'm going to be united with them. And they're not just going to sit beside me, but we're going to become one. And all of my power, I'm giving it to them. All of my authority, I'm giving it to them. Everything I am, I'm going to give it to them. And hell looked at God and said, that's the one thing that I so desired. But God said, you can't have it. I'm giving it to a bride. I'm giving it to a man that loves me. A woman desires me. I heard, oh God, I feel the Holy Ghost. I heard an elderly man of God preach. And he said he was in the pulpit preaching one night. And as he preached, the back doors opened and two tall, good-looking young men walked in the door. He said, at first I did not recognize them. He said, I didn't know who they were. But he said they walked among the crowd and they walked up and down the aisles. And he said it didn't take long that I realized that nobody else could see them. He said I understood they were angels. He said I watched them as the church lifted their hands and praised God. They would help people lift their hands. They'd take their hands and lift them up. They'd go walk up and down the aisles and encourage people to worship the Lord. He said, I watched them as I preached. He said, they stood beside the pew of the sinner. And they stood in attention. And they waited for the man of God to quit through preaching. And he said, as I began to give an altar call, he said, I watched the men step through the aisle and take them by the hand and say, come on, and bring them to an altar. He said, I watched them as they helped them out of the seat and hurried them to an altar. Nobody else could see it. Nobody else understood it. But he said, the angels went all throughout the building and hurried them to the altar and pushed them to God. He said, I watched as the altars filled. He said, I watched as sinners bowed their heads. They begin to repent of their sins. They begin to cry out to God, I'm sorry for my sins. They begin to repent and tears begin to flow. And he said, as they cried and they wept, and as they repented, he said, the angels begin to lift their hands. He said, their faces lit up with a smile, and they begin to rejoice as the sinner began to repent. But he said, it wasn't just a moment longer that the sinner went beyond the angel. And he said they lifted their hands. The glory of the Lord began to come upon them. And all of a sudden, they weren't saying, I'm sorry, God.
But they begin to speak in a heavenly language as God fills him with the Holy Ghost. He said, I watched the angels as they looked at their face and their eyes. They couldn't understand it. They didn't know what was going on because the angels desire to look into what you've got. They don't understand it. They look with a quizzical look and they didn't know what was going on. Because God has reserved a place for you that the angels cannot go. Friend, what do you think Satan is? He's nothing more than a fallen angel. When you get in an altar and you repent, he knows what's going on. When tears course down your cheeks, he understands what's taking place. But when you lift your hands and the glory of God comes down and you begin to speak that heavenly language, it blows his mind. He don't understand it. He's never been there. He's never felt that. He don't know what it is. And he hates you because no, Satan cannot go there. Satan cannot reach that place. But there's one thing he can do. He can steal your crown. Friend, you better hear this preacher this morning. Satan has one goal. He knows that he can't have it. He knows that he can't reach the place that God is trying to take you to. And the only thing he can do is to come between you and a crown. May I tell you today, Jesus described him well when he called him a thief. He said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, to destroy. You see, Satan is a thief. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, hold fast. Hold on to it. Don't turn it loose. Don't let any man take thy crown, because he knows you're running a race. You're fighting a battle. And somebody, please hear me, somewhere today in glory, a crown awaits you. Oh, not me, preacher. Maybe somebody else don't know, friend. It came to me so forcibly as Brother Clark dedicated little Elizabeth. I could see the hand of God already preparing and molding a crown. But someday, somebody, little Elizabeth, you don't hear me today, but there's a crown waiting on you, baby doll. And if mom and daddy don't raise you to run a race, if they don't raise you to fight a fight, somewhere the hand of hell will take hold of a crown, pull it away. It was to belong to you. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. I'm not going to be able to do it.
day you know me, and that you do call upon my name, and that you are my servant. I say, yea, let me speak further into my word, and should have in my spirit that you feel in this morning. Because truly there is an incorruptible crown that you can have if you will call it holy after me. If you will set aside those things that bind you to this world, I'm telling you right now that I've got a place that's been prepared for you, that you must find yourself in a race that will lead you to a crown. If you were to find yourself in the competition in this world, would you not set aside things for momentarily? That you say, I can do without these for now, but maybe after this, I can rejoice. I say even more so if you can think that way of the glory in heaven that awaits you.
God,
that you can reach out and set aside those things that bind you to this world. I'm telling you, the things in your home that you don't see, the things in your clothing, in your garments that you don't see, the things in your communication that you don't see. But I'm telling you, you need me today.
Would you lift your hand and talk to Jesus today? Would you lift your hand and talk to him right now? Come on. If you were running a race in this life, you'd lay things aside and give it everything. Will you do it for a crown that's never going to fade away? Are you willing to lay some things down to make it to heaven? Are you willing to run with everything within you? Come on, you walked in today not serious, but you just don't understand how serious hell is. You're a good man, you're a good person, but hell desires your crown. Why don't you make up your mind today? I'm never going to miss it. I'm going to run with everything within me. I'm going to run with everything within me. Come on, our eyes are closed, our hands are raised. I want to open this altar to you right now. I feel somebody making up your mind. I don't want to miss my crown. I don't want to miss my crown.